We're here with Kathleen Halal of Moms Across America, and Cassie and I saw your talk yesterday, and like a lot of the speakers, it sparks questions, and I know there are certain folks I've wanted to come talk to. So I just wanted to ask you about Moms Across America and also about pandas, which was, I think, entirely new to me.
Yes, well, my partner Zen and I met each other at a party in California the night that Prop 37 was actually losing in the election. And Zen was crying in the parking lot. She had her family around her. She was crying. And I went up to her and I just said, this is only the beginning. We're not losing. We've raised awareness. It's just the beginning in California of the fight. And even if this does not pass tonight, we can do something. We can work together to do something. And a couple of days later, Zen called me and she said, I have an idea. And she wanted to start Moms Across America, and she wanted to plan participation in 4th of July parades across the nation, parades that are already set up, already going, and we would just have groups of families and supporters of labeling holding signs and wearing T-shirts and saying, you know, we support GMO labeling, and we're not buying GMOs for our family. You know, we're concerned about our family's health and children's health, and our mission is really to protect the children and our society. We feel, you know, Zen's children have severe food allergies. My children have food allergies as well as autoimmune issues. And we just get very frustrated when we look around the classrooms and we know that something is really wrong in the environment of the children. Mm-hmm. And we learned about GMOs and we learned about what the process involves in terms of farming them with heavy chemical pesticides and herbicides. And we didn't like that idea that we were feeding those things to our children. Each of us took our families off of GMOs and their health improved. We went as organic as we can. Mm-hmm. We try to bring snacks wherever we go, and at home we feed our kids exclusively non-GMO or organic foods. And, you know, sure enough, their health improved. So we both said we're going to get out there and we're going to tell other people about this. And so we're collecting stories on our website, momsacrossamerica.com. We have a Facebook page as well. And we're collecting stories, and we have hundreds of stories from families and individuals who have gone off of GMO foods, and their different ailments have improved. And so women, mothers within the autism community, parents that are taking care of these children with mm-hmm. autism, parents that are taking care of children with autoimmune issues, skin problems, food allergies, are all rapidly discovering that when they remove GMOs from their children's diet, the children get healthier. So Zen and I have done a lot of research into why this may be so. And when we learned about the process of raising GMOs, we discovered that they're so filled with pesticides that the companies say won't harm us, and yet there are so many studies saying that they stay in our body and they are harming us, that we just sort of put two and two together and we said we're going to do something about this.
There's so many questions, but as you and I were kind of talking off mic, that I can think back, you know, when I was in school, and there wasn't the prevalence of what we see now, as we were just saying. I can think back, and again, you know, I was in a small town in West Virginia. That's where I was born and raised. But there wasn't the peanut allergy, you know, like was said, you know, anybody who brings a snack to school anymore, it's a lockdown.
That's right. It's a total panic now if you bring a peanut on campus. I mean, it never used to be that way. And you, other foods, too. Kids are allergic to all kinds of uh-huh. other foods. And it's not just an inconvenience. I remember when I started hearing about kids with food allergies, you know, before my family had any signs of this, you know, my children had no signs of this, I would think, oh, that must be such an annoyance, you know, a food allergy. Uh-huh. Wow, you have to avoid that food. What a drag. Then I found out that in our district, you know, this is a very serious issue. Food allergies cause children to die. These children are dying of these food allergies. It's not like a minor annoyance. In our district, the nurses last year had to have 750 EpiPens on hand for students with food allergies. And that seems like a very big number. You know, and an EpiPen is a shot that children need to get right away if they're exposed to a certain kind of food. Mm. They could go into anaphylactic shock, and they could die before the ambulance could arrive. So the school nurses have to have these EpiPens on hand. This year, that number jumped to 2,000.
And the numbers always exponentially.
Yes.
grow.
I find this completely outrageous and unacceptable. That's just food allergies. Autism is on the rise. Mm-hmm. Autoimmune issues are on the rise. Really, there's an epidemic going on in our classrooms, and we need to pay attention to what's going on with our children. Our children are like the canaries in the coal mine. And the thing is that for those of us who support labeling and have discovered that going off of GMOs benefits our family's health, the argument against GMOs is really sort of obvious. All you have to do is understand what a GMO is and understand how they're created and farmed. What happens is the seeds are created in a lab. The DNA from one living thing is, one living thing is injected into the seed.
Fired into it.
It's either fired into it with a gun, which is actually a better way than the second way, which is it's made to cross the barriers with fungus or antibiotic-resistant bacteria, E. coli, things like that. And so they inject the seeds. The seeds are produced this way already with bacteria or infection or fungus. And then they're planted. But before they're planted, they're coated with pesticides, herbicides, fungicides. Then after they're planted, the crops are sprayed with Roundup. Sometimes the plants have BT toxin bred inside of them, which is bacteria that when the bugs eat the plant, their stomach dissolves, and that's creating a permeability in our children's stomachs and leaky gut and all of these stomach issues, because who could tolerate these things? You know, least of all children. And then once they have that, they develop food allergies because little bits of food get through the holes in the stomach lining and they're not digested. And so the body produces an autoimmune reaction because it says, alert, alert, you know, foreign protein A. And secondly, in the bloodstream, there's a certain kind of food that's not completely digested. So you drive, it all fits together. Our health systems are centered in the gut. And if your immune system is, your gut's not healthy, your immune system is not healthy. Plus, on top of that, there is a gut-brain connection. There's a direct connection to behavior and learning from the gut. And so if you're messing up the flora and the balance of what's going on in the gut, how will you have a child who can sit still or behave or learn or focus?
Which I think brings us to what is almost kind of the circle. And you went through this in your talk, that it essentially goes from chemical... I won't be able to repeat them all, but the vicious cycle.
That's
of
right.
Misdiagnosing
cereals,
things.
Yes, the farm animals are fed these foods that have pesticide on them and herbicide, and then the animals don't do well, not surprisingly. And then the veterinarian is called, and the animals are given drugs, and then, you know, we eat all of that. We eat the food with the pesticide and herbicide and chemicals, and we also eat the animals that have been fed the pesticide, herbicide, and chemicals, plus the medications. And then we feed those to our family. Then our family doesn't feel well, and then what happens? We take more medicine.
Yeah.
And these companies are producing all of that for us.
So I know something that also struck me was the mention of the Leroy, New York cases.
Yes.
Was something that I know in my own work I've kind of looked at. And a lot of times
there have been other clusters like that, too, of children who come down with sudden conditions. And that condition was called, by the doctors who believe in pandas, they pegged it, and they said this is an autoimmune issue. And
not the sort of mass hysteria.
Conversion disorder, meaning like mass hysteria. Like the girls are copying one another psychologically. It spreads. And
I looked at that story... from a standpoint of how it was being told, that it was only ever looked at as like, isn't this weird?
Yeah.
That they're all, it was a sort of anomaly story that they didn't actually seem that interested in any of the causes. And I think even at some point, like Aaron Brockovich was brought in.
Yes, to do environmental tests. They found nothing environmental. So it's entirely possible that it was an autoimmune condition brought on by a certain infection that spread among these girls. In my son's case, with pandas, it's caused by strep.
So
but it can
so
be charged... let's
explain... Pandas, then.
Pandas is a condition that looks behavioral. It's pediatric autoimmune neuropsychiatric disorder associated with strep. It's also called PANS. And the medical community and the pediatric community is having a hard time getting their hands around this because there seem to be multiple infectious causes, and the children all display varying behaviors. So it's difficult to diagnose. But the starting point is a blood test to measure the level of antibodies to certain infections. It can be caused by strep, of course, Lyme, mycoplasma, Coxsackie, chickenpox, mono. So any of these infections, what happens is the antibodies overreact to the infection, and perhaps the antibodies have been set into action from the food allergies or the leaky gut or any of that. And I'm speaking as a mother. I am not a doctor. I'm speaking as a mother, but this is my take. And the antibodies overreact and they attack the infection, but they also mistakenly attack the basal ganglia in the brain. Somehow they're getting through the blood-brain barrier, and they get into the brain and they attack the brain. And the mechanism works exactly like rheumatic fever. And it's interesting because the, well, in rheumatic fever, the antibodies to strep attack the heart valve. They can stop the heart. That's why the doctors put patients on antibiotics as soon as strep is discovered. But in these children, they are asymptomatic. They don't have a sore throat. They don't have a fever. Instead, they have the alternative reaction, the alternative immune response, which is the antibodies behind the scenes doing what they shouldn't, attacking areas that they shouldn't attack. And so the whole way to treat this is to reduce inflammation, which may be through, you know, foods that are causing allergic reactions, or you know, some people give Advil to their children, but somehow to get the inflammation down, and then to fight the antibodies. Some people treat this for their children with antibiotics. Some parents are having success using homeopathic remedies. But we're all just searching for the answers for this. Nobody has an exact way to diagnose it, and nobody has the exactly perfect way to treat it. We're all struggling to find the answers. This is a relatively new condition. It has existed before in the past, and now it's epidemic. And the problem is that a lot of these children are misdiagnosed. As you know, the doctors will see one or two of the symptoms of PANDAS and say, oh, this child's ADHD, or this child's OCD, or this child's depressed, or this child has anorexia. And they're given different types of psychotropic or behavioral medications. But they're not looking for the underlying cause. Why did this child come down with this condition all of a sudden? If they didn't have it from birth, and it you know, one of the symptoms of PANDAS is that it comes on suddenly. So why did this behavioral you know, condition start all of a sudden? If they don't check the blood for antibodies and the titer level for different infections, they may never find the cause. And they may only be treating the symptoms with SSRIs or whatever medications. They mask the symptoms. They're not getting to the cause. And some of these children have tics, Tourette's, anxiety. Sometimes they have suicidal thoughts. It just varies, but this typically strikes children between 4 and 14 years of age, but it is, they're finding it now in young adults and even older adults as well. So, you know, it's funny because the medical community can accept that in rheumatic fever, antibodies will attack the heart valve or the kidneys or the joints in the body. They can accept that. And they can also accept that with illnesses like syphilis, the brain is affected, but it's due to an infection, basically. They can accept that. But putting the two together, for some reason, for some people in the medical community, it's they can't accept that. They can't accept that there's an antibody reaction, and the antibodies, instead of attacking the heart, they're attacking the brain. But that's apparently what's happening, because the treatment for our sons was very successful. We removed his tonsils, and he was treated with antibiotics, and he got better. The symptoms disappeared. So it looks behavioral, but it's really due to an infection. And specialists in this area believe it's happening to hundreds of thousands of children, and that the scope is greater for PANDAS or PANS than it is for autism. It's just that a lot of these kids are being misdiagnosed, because nobody's checking the blood. And I wish that as a part of a physical, instead of just swabbing the throat, which oftentimes doesn't show strep when strep is really in there, I wish that they would check the blood. It's not an expensive blood test, especially if children come in and they present with behavioral issues.
So I think just in closing, as we're here kind of on the second day, what it just your kind of general thoughts? Because I think always it's hard sometimes to want to come out to events, at least personally. There are times where it's, you know, oh, I don't have time, or any number of reasons. But when you come out, you realize, oh, it is important to meet people in person. And I think also it kind of gets your gears turning.
That's right. I mean, it's very hard to get away for me. I mean, I have the three children at home, and fortunately my husband supports me, and he's able to care for the family so that I can come and you know, speak at these meetings and interact with other people who want GMO labeling for various reasons. And it really strengthens you to come to these meetings and realize there's a community and you're not all alone and that we need to take action. You get inspired to take action, and that's what Moms Across America is about. We are about spreading the word and educating mothers. So many mothers out there are struggling right now with various issues for their children. We are busy as mothers these days, and if your child has a food allergy or autism or some health issue, you are just overwhelmed with the expense and the time involved and so on and so forth. And we want to give mothers answers. We want to explain to them that there's a very good chance that it is the pesticides in our environment and the heavy pesticide use in GMO farming specifically that may be affecting our children, and that every mother should try to remove GMOs from their diet and see what happens with their family's health. And we want to help them in that process. We want to first educate them about this and then have them try it, and we want to guide them in how to shop, what products to buy, you know, what the answers are, because a lot of mothers learn about this and they say, oh my gosh, where do I start? So we want to explain to them how we shop, how we've figured it out, how you can do it in a cost-effective manner and still really care for your family. And the doctors I've spoken with and the mothers that we know who have gone off of GMOs or taken their families off of GMOs, without exception, there has been improvement in their family's health.
Mm-hmm.
Without exception.
What's the website again?
MomsAcrossAmerica.com, and we also have a Facebook page, Moms Across America.
And really, when you think about it, that's Facebook, Google, you know, all those things are fraught with whole other worlds of problems and NSA and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
But to interface with moms who are having to make choices every day, Facebook is exactly where that's happening.
That's right. We have a very big following. But, you know, I also do things. I feel like every mom has a responsibility to protect other children. You know, my mom always explained to me, she said, you'll never understand the love I have for you until you have children of your own. And that is so true. I mean, when you give birth to a child, you just love that child with all your being. And the interesting thing is that you love other people's children too in the same way. If I saw a stranger's child, you know, jump out in front of a bus, I would risk my life to help that child. And it's that same instinct that drives us to talk about this in Target parking lots, you know, on the park bench, at the PTA meeting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just talk about this all the time.
What did the slide say?
Which,
the e-card?
Oh, the mother. I can't remember the exact quote. But we are mama bears. We are mama bears. It said, I may appear to be gentle and loving, but if you do something to harm my child, you'll see
you're
crazy.
You,
it will make your nightmares appear like, what was the quote?
Something to that effect,
something.
Yeah. If you, I'm a mom who may seem calm, but if you get between me and my kids, you'll unleash.
Do not hurt my children.
Holy hell that you can't even imagine.
It's really true, and that's instinctual. That's, that's programming. Mm-hmm. I never stop thinking about this. It's 24 hours a day. I'm volunteering, Zen is volunteering, and we are not even close to stopping until every single mother knows exactly how GMO foods are produced. All you need to do is present the simple facts of their method of production and farming, and no mother is going to like that. And, you know, the companies are coming out with, don't you care about the other children in the world and feeding them and so on? Well, I might. However, all of their system of farming is failing. The yields are actually lower. You know, everything fails. The crops cost more money to plant. The farmers can't save their seeds, so it doesn't help the poor in any way because the next year they have to go back and buy more seed. The only thing that's successful with GMOs is the sale of pesticides, which is great for the companies, but it's not so great for our kids. And the EPA just, again, raised the level of glyphosate that we can give to our children. And their figures are based on 150-pound man. And they're approving these levels for food to our children. And our children are already sick, EPA. And I made a comment, and lots of thousands of people made comments on their website, and they just ignored us and approved it. And they're approving more and more of this in our environment. And our it's in the air, it's in the water, it's in the food. And if we don't use our purchasing power as mothers to stop buying this stuff, then they'll keep growing it. But the thing is that we buy 85% of the groceries. We can vote with our dollars. We are in the driver's seat. If all of us stop buying this, they won't grow it. And that's the answer.
That
to
is
educate
the answer.
Every single mother about what this is and get every single mother to stop buying it, because we're giving our kids too many chemicals.
Kathleen Halal, thank you so much.
You're welcome. My pleasure.